I see, and thanks. So first of all, let me thank the organizer and the scientific advisor of this workshop to have me here for 5 weeks, and thank for the organization of George. So I will talk about monoball condensation transition out of quantum spin ice and air quantum spin liquid with spin orbit coupling, with strong spin orbit coupling. So first of all, for our university reason, I would like to advertise something. So our Standard for Theoretical Physics, although now the name is not the Standard for Theoretical Physics, and our department are recruiting new members, and we're recruiting new members from all fields of theoretical physics and all fields of physics. And in addition, we also welcome postdoc and visiting professors. So this is the map of China, and Shanghai is here. It's close to everywhere. I mean, it's like four or five hours between Beijing and Shanghai. So, you know, China work function as a whole. So if you work in Shanghai, you can use all the resources in China. And this is the Shanghai. So as a foreigner, you don't have difficulty to survive in Shanghai. So welcome to apply. So this is the outline. So in the first talk, so this talk composed of two parts. So in the first part, I will talk about multiple condensation transition out of quantum spin ice. And I want to propose this Presidium subsystem of this particular material might be a quantum spin ice. And this work I'm writing this work, and it will be available soon. In the second part, if I have time, so I will discuss about this new quantum spin liquid candidate. It's a rare earth triangle lattice quantum spin liquid in this ytterbium magnesium gallium arsenide. So to my best of knowledge, so this is the first strong spin orbit coupled quantum spin liquid with odd number electron per unit cell and effective spin 1/2 local moment. And this work has been accepted by PIL. So because of I worry I don't have enough time to talk about this part in great detail, so I want to say a few things first. So this part is in collaboration with some amazing experimentalists, in particular this junior experimentalist, Dr. Yue Shen Yi. So he's very brilliant, very smart, hardworking, and understands theory. So he has materials background and can grow material with high quality. So he's looking for postdoc positions. And he is very interested in neutron scattering. So if you have some information, please let us know.
Can I do you have another laser maybe? This one is very, very bright.
Oh, sorry. Maybe this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. yeah. So there's two people contribute largely to this work is Dr. Yue Shen Li and Professor Qimin Zhang at Renmin University in capital of China, Beijing. So this is a So the rare earth triangle lattice quantum spin liquid, and this ytterbium form a triangle lattice, and this is a layered compound. And the interlayer distance is much larger than intralayer distance, so it's a well-defined two-dimensional system. And so in condensed matter, we have this well-known famous theorem called the Lipschitz-Metcalfe theorem in one dimension. So it deals with a spin 1/2. It deals with a model insider with all number electron per insider in 1D. And it claims it should be gapless. So there is a high-dimensional generalization by Hastings Oshikawa. So Oshikawa provides argument, and Hastings did a more precise proof. And they claim so for model insider with all number electron potential, as long as if there is no spontaneous symmetry breaking, the ground state must be exotic, can either be topological or gapless. So this is very, you know, this theorem implies a model insider with all number electron potential may be a quantum spin liquid, can be a quantum spin liquid. So this is a very powerful theorem. So that means if you look at some particular system, you just count the number electron potential, and then look at whether there is no symmetry breaking or not, then you can say the system is exotic. So, but this theorem has some kind of you know, has some kind of assumption. You know, this assumption kills its applicability to real physical system. So this assumption is of this proof is that require global U1 symmetry. Total SD is conserved, for instance, for spin system. So we know as in realistic physical system, we have spin orbit coupling. Because the title of this workshop, spin orbit matters, so we don't have global U1 symmetry in any physical system. There is always some kind of U1 symmetry breaking there due to spin orbit coupling. So this kind of assumption, this kind of this presence of spin orbit coupling killed the applicability of this theorem. But on the other hand, nevertheless, if spin orbit coupling is weak, you know, maybe the dominant part of the Hamiltonian, you know, which is maybe SG2 invariant, already give you the right phase, and any small correction does not change the phase. Only in that situation, we can apply this theorem to a realistic physical system. But we know for heavy atoms, for heavy elements, for instance, ytterbium with F electron, maybe even iridium has D electron, these elements are very heavy. They have very strong spin orbit coupling. And spin orbit coupling would be the almost the dominant energy scale. In that case, the assumption, you know, one can never apply the theorem to this kind of physical system because the spin harmonic will never have a U1 symmetry. So recently there is a very important theoretical extension by this group of people. They extend this theorem to a spin orbit coupled insulators. It's a very interesting result. They claim as long as time model symmetry is preserved, as long as the system has all number electron point cell, the ground state must be exotic. So that means a spin orbit coupled model insulator can, in principle, be a spinner grid. So this material would be the first strong spin orbit coupled quantum spinner grid with all number electron point cell with a fragment spin 1/2. And in addition, this is the first clear observation of this famous T to the 2/3 heat capacity. And we understand the microscopic Hamiltonian and the physical reason, physical mechanism for the quantum spinning grid physics. So that's a brief a summary of this part. So, yeah.
What's the anisotropy?
Anisotropy, it's completely anisotropic. So because of...
And it's spin, but I mean the spatial anisotropy, is there any...
This is a perfect triangle that is, okay, has all the symmetries of the triangle that is. So that's the summary of the second part. So now I switch back to the first part. I will talk about multiple condensation transition out of quantum spin ice. So the outline would be... So I first give an introduction to motivate this question. Does quantum spin ice exist in nature? And then I want to argue the magnetic transition of some quantum spin ice is a confinement transition of a compact U1 compact quantum electrodynamics. And then we discuss multiple condensation approximate magnetic phase of quantum spin ice. So over the years there are a lot of activities on material on spin ice systems, mostly in the rare earth particle system. So these are a chemical formula of this rare earth particle system. It's a rare earth, they form a particle lattice, which is a corner shell tetrahedral structure in 3+3 dimension, and these are elements. Because the rare earth have a very strong spin orbit coupling, and because of the combination of spin orbit coupling and the local crystal fields, so in the end the local moment form some kind of icing like a degrees of freedom. So they prefer the eigenspin prefer pointing either into the center of the tetrahedra or point out of the center of the tetrahedra. So that's the eigen anisotropy due to spin orbit coupling and crystal fields. So the effective interaction between these eigen degrees of freedom is some kind of antiferromagnetic interaction, other than some kind of dipolar interaction over here. So for our interest, we don't need to care about this thing. Because of any ferromagnetic interaction, the force spin on a single tetrahedral prefer to point in, have this kind of spin configuration. So two spin prefer to point in and two spin point out. And because of this exact mapping between the spin configurations in quantum spin ice and the hydrogen conditions in water ice. You know, so in water, so each oxygen in water ice, near each oxygen there are four hydrogens, and the five among these four hydrogens, two hydrogens are moving away from this oxygen, two are moving into the oxygen. So if you map the position of the hydrogen into the spin configuration, so there is an exact one-to-one mapping between spin ice configurations and water ice configuration. So when because for this tetrahedra, we can pick any two spin to be point in, any two spin to be point out. So there is a six-fold degeneracy of each tetrahedra. So if we consider a many body system, that would lead to extensive ground state degeneracy. So these are two in two out spin I state are extensively degenerate. So at temperature smaller than the exchange energy scale, the system are thermally fluctuating within the ice manifold, which is extensively degenerate, leading to so-called classical spin ice and the various interesting experimental discoveries, like for instance polyentropy and these pinch points in the neutron scattering. So although classical spin ice is very very interesting, but it's not the new phase of matter. It's a crossover regime, and it's mostly connected to the high temperature paramagnetic phase. So I'm interested in new phase of matter. So quantum spin ice, which is the focus of this talk, is a new phase of matter. So to obtain quantum spin ice from classical spin ice, one can add some kind of quantum mechanical spin exchange term into the original Hamiltonian. So adding this kind of spin flip terms will create a quantum dynamics. Will allow the system to quantum mechanically tunnel from one spin ice configuration to the other spin ice configuration. So this is the one example. So look at this hexagon, and so two spin pointing in, two spin pointing out, the red one pointing out, the blue one pointing in. So on this hexagon, in the center, for this hexagon, in the center, if we apply this spin flip term three times, we can flip all these six spin along the loop of the along the parameters of this hexagon, like this way. So both this state and this state are in the spin ice configuration, because every tetrahedra has a two in two out spin configuration. So this is the quantum mechanical terms. They will allow the system to delocalize within the spin ice manifold, and in the end create some kind of liquid state called the quantum spin ice. So pretty much one can add any kind of quantum mechanical terms into the Hamiltonian to create a quantum tunneling event. As long as these terms you add are not large enough to induce magnetic order, the ground state is a quantum spin ice. So there is some kind of robustness over there. So I should emphasize quantum spin ice is not a linear symmetric breaking phase. To illustrate this point, let me just explain this energy spectrum, this simple energy strip spectrum of a quantum spin ice. So in quantum spin ice, there are mainly three types of electric excitations. So there are spinons. Some people are called magnetic monopole, but because I want to talk about magnetic monopole, so if I say this magnetic monopole, I don't know what to say about this. So I reserve a magnetic monopole for something else. So what is spinon? So if we start this from this kind of a spin ice configuration, it's two in, two out. Remember, the spin are strongly fluctuating because of its quantum mechanical tunneling event. So this is a snapshot of one spin ice configuration. Now imagine I create a spin flip. I flip this spin from in to out. Then this tetrahedra and this tetrahedra are not happy. They move out of the spin ice configuration, because this is three out one in, this is three in one out. It costs finite energy. So I created two defect tetrahedra. So if I continue doing this kind of spin flip, I can move this defect tetrahedra from here to here to here to here. So in the end, what I can do, I can move this defect tetrahedra to arbitrary separate this defect trivial to arbitrary distance without costing too much energy. I already cost the finite energy because the spin here, remember this spin here in the pathway are strongly fluctuating. So to separate them does not cost does not cost energy linear in the separation between the two defect trivial, because the spins are strongly fluctuating. The string, I mean, this yellow thing is a string, has no tension. So in that sense, spin-on are deconfined. So this is one crucial feature of quantum spin ice. So at low energy, there is an emergent gapless gauge photon. It's gapless. The gaplessness of this gauge photon is not due to spontaneous symmetry breaking. It's not a Gostown boson, because there is no spontaneous symmetry breaking. So the system preserves all the symmetry. The ground state preserves all the symmetry of the lattice. So this emergent gapless gauge photon is a consequence of an emergent gauge structure of quantum spin ice. It's protected by the gauge structure.
Can you explain once again what's different between magnetic monopoles and spin-ons? Because the picture you described on the right, that's actually you create monopole anti-monopole and then you move them apart, there is a string, and string doesn't cost you anything, even classical, without any quantum rotation. So what's actually a spin-on in that picture?
This is a spin-on. This is a magnetic excitation. So you create a spin flip. You create a two.
That's what we call magnetic monopole.
Yeah. That's what people call magnetic.
That's monopole and anti-monopole. So what's the spin-on?
This is spin-on and it's spin-on. So okay.
Are these the same or are these different?
And let me say it this way.
What your monopole and your spin-on are these the same object or are different objects?
They're different objects in this plot. They are different objects. So because
which? What you draw is classical picture of spin of monopoles, a classical spin ice. That's what all the pictures on the right is classical picture of classical monopole, anti-monopole, and the confinement and so on. So what is spin in the picture? So
he's using a different notation, okay, which was actually before people started talking about magnetic monopoles and spin ice. They called these things spin ons.
Okay.
Earlier. Okay.
The
spin-on equals a magnetic monopole.
Okay, the same.
But he has something else which he wants to call magnetic monopole, which is not your magnetic monopole.
It's not mine.
So which one couples minimally to the emergent gauge field?
Yeah, well this spin-on carry the U1 gauge charge and carry electrical gauge charge. Magnetic monopole carry magnetic gauge charge,
but
carry dual U1 gauge.
They both do, but it's
dual gauge charge.
So in Claudio Casanova's language, the monopole carries the minimal U1 charge?
Yeah,
their language doesn't really apply here because it's a quantum description. So if you have just quantum electromagnetism, in principle, you can have magnetic and electric charges.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. In this case, there are both.
All right.
The classical thing only has one type of charge.
Right.
Which you can choose. It's really a convention, which one you call electric and magnetic.
Right.
So it's choosing the convention where this classical thing is the electric charge.
I see. Okay.
So in the quantum case, do you have a picture for both? What are the pictures for the...
Well, it's much harder to... Maybe he has a picture. You should ask him. Draw a picture for the magnetic, the other monopole. It's much harder.
Yeah,
it's much less classical.
Is there a crossover, or are these particles with different quantum numbers?
They're very different.
Totally different.
They're very different. Totally different.
Well, it's clear that if you take a quantum classical limit, according to this energy structure.
Yeah.
So... magnetic monopoles become softer and softer. Mm-hmm. So, and does it disappear as an excitation in the classical limit?
The magnetic monopole?
Yes, if I take it, well, I mean,
you don't have this.
Cannot be really.
Yeah. You don't have these two objects.
Yes.
So, I would make more distinctions, really. I mean, the classical system, the thing that everyone calls a magnetic monopole,
that's clear.
It's not really a single excitation. It's a whole set of configurations. It's a highly degenerate thing. If you tell me where a monopole is, there are tons of spin configurations consistent with that. So it's not, there's no one particle associated with that. in the quantum system, there really is one particle is different. Consequently, in the quantum case, you've removed that degeneracy. And this superposition somehow is what allows you to create this other type of excitation.
So I can identify one-to-one for the quantum molecule, quantum case magnetic molecule. If I draw the location of magnetic molecules, I can identify one-to-one the underlying spin excitation.
There's one state. Could you write it down? Maybe, kind of, complicated.
But it's one state.
Yeah, if you don't understand this, maybe if you understand the Kitab-Tori code, maybe this will be E particle, this will be M particle.
But that's why I'm asking, there are different quantum numbers. There are different...
They carry different gauge charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good analogy, right? So in the Tori code you're familiar with, there's something that's an electric particle and a magnetic particle, right? That's a Z2 gauge theory, but it still has electric and magnetic charges. A U1 gauge theory, you're actually more familiar with is electric and magnetic charges. Yeah. That's what those are.
Yeah. But the monopole doesn't carry electric charge. It carries a dual.
Yeah.
One of them is electric charge and one of them is magnetic charge.
Yeah, so there's an emergent U1 gas structure associated with quantum spin ice. Okay. The right description of quantum spin ice is in terms of some fractionalization and emergent U1 gas structure. So this is a theory, okay. It's very nice, and one can check everything with numerics. So an important question is, does quantum spin ice exist in nature, in experiment? So the answer is probably. So one can actually write down some very realistic Hamiltonian to describe local spin moment interaction on particle lattice. So there are three different sets of Hamiltonians. So this is called a Kramers doublet. This Hamiltonian works with so-called Kramers doublet. So Hamiltonian work applies to non-Kramers doublet. So our contribution, we wrote down a realistic Hamiltonian for dipole octupole doublet. So with Yiping Huang, and he is looking for a job also. he knows all these spin orbit things very well because we taught him all these things. So this kind of system is a very very good Hamiltonian by many standards. So apply some materials, it's realistic. This remarkable model doesn't have sign problem for quantum Monte Carlo on any lattice, actually, not just on particle lattice. So this model supports non-trivial phase, several non-trivial phase called symmetry-enriched quantum spin ice. So by this three standard, it's probably the only model you can have this satisfy these three conditions.
I don't understand that. For some signs of J, you mean?
For some signs of J,
it has no sign problem. It includes a high.
Yeah, sure, model. Sure. In large parameter space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More than 50% of the parameter space has no sign problem. Okay. Is it reasonable? Yeah.
This exactly breaks the cubic symmetry.
No, it doesn't break cubic symmetry.
So it depends on the direction of ij.
Depends on the direction of ij. What do you mean, like?
The last term.
Yeah.
It's unique for any ij bond. Or?
Yeah. So this thing you can do a rotation around the y axis to eliminate this thing on a model. On the model side, you can do a rotation around the y axis to eliminate this. So in the end, the model is called XYZ model.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then missing is the
J
plus minus 10.
Yeah.
Is it just a coincidence?
No, it's because of time reversal symmetry. On the time reversal symmetry, SZ is odd on time reversal symmetry. The transverse component of the spin is even on the time reversal symmetry. In the end, because of time reversal symmetry invariance, you don't allow this term to be present in a Hamiltonian.
But anyway, so this model doesn't have a cubic symmetry in general.
In the spin space?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah, in the spin space.
Well, these spins are linked to the lattice, right? Because it's a dipole octupole.
Sure.
But the S components are not, they don't transform like a vector. there's some other, they're really pseudo spins. They have some very different transformations than the, than you're used to. For,
right.
It doesn't really transform like a spin.
Yeah, you probably thought that.
Pseudo spin doublet.
Exactly.
Yeah, which will be some rotation plus some type of reflection.
No.
No?
It's even more different than that.
It's more common. So it's more like these doublets are one-dimensional representation of the point group. Each of them are one-dimensional reverse representation. So on the time reverse symmetry, they map one, switch one to the other. But only for these two, the both of them are two-dimensional representation of the point group. That's the difference. And this particular, I mean, you probably heard about this several talks about this particular compound. And this model is relevant for this compound. I think Leon is talk about this thing. This is interesting material.
Yeah. That's a good question. So if all these three models support these three types of excitations?
Yeah.
Which you draw. So
yeah.
All of them has this.
Yeah, it's a universal physics.
Yeah. I mean, you should say, I guess, the second model is just the first model with one coupling set to zero. Not really different model.
Set by this some excitation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this is a realistic model, and because this realistic model, we can study them numerically or theoretically, and we know these models support quantum spin phase. So we have confidence these quantum spin can be relevant for realistic physical systems. So the more important question, can we detect them experimentally, and where to find them? Okay. So I was more inspired by this particle iridase, and Leon did many pioneering work on this rare iridase. It's often very hard to find anything interesting in a problem where Leon did some work. So, yeah, it took me a while to find something interesting there by my standard. Okay, so this is the particle lattice structure. Both the rare earth and iridium form a particle lattice. So this is some kind of transition temperature versus the ion radius, some kind of diagram. And among these rare earth particles, only one of them is metallic. You know, so the rest of them all have the metal inside transition, but this one remains metallic down to very low temperature. So that's some puzzling, but I'm not interested in the transport property of this material. So I mean, look at this very old experiment, like almost 10 years ago. So they look at some kind of this sample. They remain disorder. You don't see any kind of magnetic order down to maybe 0.1 Kelvin, but at a very low temperature, there is a spin freezing transition due to disorder. That's probably not intrinsic. So more recently, is a quadratic band touching thing of the conduction electron. So iridium carries 5d electron. It also has strong spin on the coupling, but it's conduction. It's conducting. It's iterating the electron. So this has a band structure. So this band structure can be measured by Arbos, and the people observe this quadratic band touching. And also, Leon did a lot of work on this a slightly interacting effect of the quadratic band touching effect. So I'm interested in the local moment instead of the quadratic band touching of the iridium ion. So that's the two experiments. There is also some metamagnetic transition if you apply field along 1-1 direction. This is really for experts. So this is 1-1 direction. Apply field along apply field along 1-1 direction, there is the metamagnetic transition. This is actually a strong indication that the local moment is strongly fluctuating within the ice manifold. Because if you apply field, if the system is in the 2-in-2-out, all in all the configuration, you would have metamagnetic transition if you apply field along any direction. So but these experiments on different samples are different. So this is some old sample, all the experiments on some samples that didn't find any magnetic order except the spin freezing at a very, very low temperature. Some other experiment, they actually find on some other samples, they find the magnetic order of the local moments. So the experiments are somewhat sample dependent.
This
band touching.
Which two bands are touching?
Which two bands are touching? It's a conduction band.
Which is the conduction band?
Yeah, it's a gamma flag.
That's different from the other one.
Yeah, this one with the yeah. Upper can only see the things below the Fermi level. They don't see.
They were supposed to be along.
Yeah.
Do they know how the direct touch on like an energy touch on in a moment of space, energy space goes?
Yeah, in gamma point they touch. Yeah, the touch at the gamma point. Yeah. So, I'm also inspired by this material. I won't say too much about this. Leon have different opinion on it.
So the band touching is all in all out, isn't it? Or what's underlying magnetic structure in the calculation, at least?
This one is independent from the magnetic band structure.
Okay.
So this is just the conducting electron tied binding model. You can see this quadratic band touching. Yeah. For iridium thing.
To get the mild metal, you need
Time was immersion breaking. So I mean, this thing is some parent state of various topological states. If you break time reversal, you get Y nodes. If you do some strain, you get topological insert.
The dots are
experiments,
right?
Yeah.
Sorry. The dots are experiments.
Yeah.
Yes,
experiment.
Yeah. The paramagnetic.
Yes. Yeah. So some materials are older, some material are not. Some samples are older, some samples are not older. I think what really happens is because different samples have different oxygen content or iridium content. So you change with different oxygen content or iridium content, you shift the chemical potential up and down. In the end, you change the induced RKKY interaction between the local moments, the RKKY interaction mediated by the conducting electron. Because if you shift the chemical potential up and down, you change the effect interaction induced by this conducting electron. So that means the effect interaction are different for different samples. In the end, some sample can order, some sample remain disorder.
What is the best model to understand? You have catenary electrons, they are localized moments.
Yeah. One can write down some realistic model to do it. But I want to emphasize, if one look at too microscopically, one may lose big picture. So I want to think something differently. So yeah, I'm also inspired by this material. So this material also has sample dependent. Some material has force order magnetic transition, and ultimately the system develops magnetic order. This is Leon's paper. They say, although one neutron scattering support a ferromagnetic ordering in this material, intriguingly, the majority of neutron scattering measurements have reported a lack of magnetic order, the absence of spin wave at low field in this material. So there is certainly very different experiments for different samples. So I want to summarize this experiment from a theoretical physicist point of view. So apparently some sample from some kind of featureless disorder state, although we don't really know the nature of this disorder state, and some sample from some kind of magnetic order. And then some tuning parameter, which we don't really know what the tuning parameter for different samples. It might be chemical pressure, it might be oxygen content. So that means actually the system would be close to some kind of phase transition from a featureless disorder state to a featureful magnetic order state. Okay, so that's the summary. So the question is, what's the structure of this magnetic order, and what's the relationship between this featureless disorder state and this magnetic order state? And more importantly, what's the nature of this featureless disorder state? Is this quantum spin ice? That's the question. These are the questions I want to answer. So one can get some insight from high TC semiconductors. So as a grad student of Santa Barbara, you can learn, before my grad school, many senior people in this place did many works in this high TC thing. So I don't know much about this. So one important question in high TC, some people think, is to understand the relationship between different phases and different phases, different orders. So there are different perspectives. Some people think maybe one can start off doing some perturbative treatment, start from the not very interesting Fermi liquid side, that doing the conventional treatment, you get the instability of Fermi liquid and obtain superconductors. Yeah, also attack from top, because non-Fermi liquids are very interesting. You know, maybe if we understand non-Fermi liquids, we understand the instability of it. We understand the structure, how to obtain semiconductor from a strange metal non-Fermi liquid. Attack from left and attack from right, because at the time, people are very curious about the natural pseudo gap state, whether it's a Z to topological order. Some Santa Barbara people, they're doing this. So if you maybe pseudo gap is a Z topological order. I mean, one can start from Z topological order, doing some condensed charge ones, you can obtain semiconductor. We can also start from semiconductor, disorder the semiconductor to obtain Z to topology order. So there's some ideas associated with it. Very, very interesting. We also attack from bottom. There may be some quantum criticality over here. And I don't understand a set of experiment features from that point of view. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to attack from left. There's some similarity between this part of phase diagram with this part of phase diagram. If you see the similarity. Semiconductor is ordered phase. Pseudo gap might be disordered state. There's some similarity over here. So that's the idea. So attack from left. So because this state is a featureless disorder state, we don't really know its nature of this disorder state. Because it might be quantum spin ice. But a direct measurement of quantum spin ice is very hard because these are F electrons. F electrons are very localized. The energy scale are very small. The exchange energy scale are very small. This particle area might have a higher energy scale than this pure insulating, particle spin ice materials because conducting electron can enhance the energy scale of the local moment interaction. But in general, to direct the probe of this emergent gas structure, emergent gas photon and deconfined spinons are very hard because of this low energy scale. We need to cool down the system down to very, very, very low temperatures to see the intrinsic quantum mechanical behavior. So at low temperatures, the low temperature measurement is very hard. So maybe we can try something different. We try something indirect. So we don't really know the nature of this featureless disorder state. So I want to make an educated guess. I want to assume this featureless disorder state is a quantum spin ice. Because there are some experimental features suggest the system is strongly fluctuating within the 2-in-2-out spin ice manifold. We know quantum spin ice is a state that has quantum fluctuation within the 2-in-2-out spin ice state. So there is a relation. So it's reasonable to make this guess, make this assumption. This featureless disorder state is this quantum spin ice. So if I make this kind of educated guess, can I start from this state and study the instabilities of this quantum spin ice state? Can I predict the nature of this magnetic ordered phase? Can I understand the nature of the phase transition? What's the universality clause? In experiment, from an experimental point of view, a disorder state is very hard to categorize. In experiment, it's featureless.
So, can I ask you some question? Still trying to figure out. So in this spin liquid phase, mm-hmm. where you have a quasi particle like the spin ones, they're not carrying the quasi particle number of like electrons, they carry spin 1/2 in the shot, right? But would they provide like a spin response function, a very sharp peak when you hit this some kind of energy scale if the gap when your energy just match that?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So how to detect this decombined spinons in experiment? More generally, when you shoot the neutrons to measure inelastic neutron structure, you can see some broad continuum because of fractionalization.
But
it's not
but
data.
If you check the speed correlation function, can you see a resonance peak like feature when your energy matches the gap of the spin on? It's like you're the bottom of the dispersion.
The minimum of that, you will see some onset of this intensity. For certain kind of correlation function, you will see onset at some critical energy scale. You could see some onset of some continuum. This doesn't really carry too much information from this except the energy gap.
You probe the bottom, which is flat, right? You can density degeneracy.
You can see gapless gauge photons. If you measure, for instance, SZ correlation function, you will see some kind of data function peak. Yeah. That's a very good question. how to detect that this fraction of emergency with freedom in experiment. So let me return to this. So from an experimentalist point of view, a disorder state is very hard to categorize because it's featureless. So what is featureful in experiment? Order state is featureful because you can do local measurement. For instance, magnetic order, you can do local magnetic measurement to see the magnetic order. So that's an experimentalist like this, right? So in addition, we are interested, this disorder state is a very interesting new phase of matter. So we theorists like new phase of matter. And new phase of matter is certainly more important than phase transition. Phase transition is a fragile, it's a fine-tuned thing. But phase transition is more visible in experiment, much more visible than this featureless disorder state. Because at a phase transition, certain physical quantity, they just diverge. Some sensibility just diverge. It's very visible in experiment, very sharp. So the idea is that one can use the approximate magnetic order and approximate magnetic phase transition to indirectly probe this featureless disorder state. If I can correctly predict the nature of the phase transition, the nature of the right structure of the magnetic order, one can infer the left-hand side will be a quantum spin ice phase. So then build up on this confidence, so one can invest the money and the time to look at this part carefully and spend more effort to check whether it is really a quantum spin ice phase. So that's the general idea, and I have formulated this experimental formulated a theoretical problem from the experimental phenomena. So is there any questions before I go on to the abstract theoretical framework? Any questions? Okay. So the theoretical framework is in terms of compact quantum electrodynamics and electromagnetic duality. So I will just mention, I don't want to get too detailed about this lattice gauge theory framework. So I just using the language a little bit. So in this U1 lattice gauge theory framework, so the icing part of the Hamiltonian is mapped to a emergent electrical field variable, and this spin flip operator mapped to a vector gauge potential. These variables are defined on the link of the dual diamond, on the diamond lattice. So basically, if you connect the center of the tetrahedral, the center of the tetrahedral form a diamond lattice. So this is a spin flip, six spin flip turn is a ring exchange. So this can be mapped into some kind of lattice gauge theory defined on the diamond lattice formed by the center of the tetrahedral. So this is this is electrical field term, this is magnetic field term. So E squared term and B squared term, if you expand it, core A is a magnetic field. Okay. So this kind of lattice gauge Hamiltonian captures the universal property of quantum spin ice. So I want to capture the universal property. I don't care about these microscopic details. So in a ordered state, so SZ, SZ is non-zero. This conjugate variable, this S plus is conjugate to SZ, is a strongly flux gradient. So in the gauge field, gauge theory language, SZ, the E field, the magnetic field, have pick up some static value. And the B field, which is conjugate to the E field, the magnetic field, is a strongly flux gradient. So that means the magnetic monopole that carries the magnetic charge, a dual U1 gauge charge, dual U1 gauge charge, is condensed, which confines the electric charge carrier or spin-on. So because of this, because of the magnetic monopole condensation, there is a background magnetic monopole there. When the electron moves, the background magnetic monopole condensate just disrupt the free motion of the spin-on and confine the spin-on. Some simple. So the to condense to study. So the I have argued the magnetic transition in quantum spin ice is a confinement transition of the U1 gauge theory. So to describe the confinement transition, one should do some tricky thing. Because the monopole these are topology defects of the U1 gauge theory. It lives on a dual diamond lattice. So this is the solid thing is the diamond lattice. The dense thing is the dual diamond lattice, carry magnetic gauge charge. So to study multiple physics, we need to use a technical duality to make this explicit. So this thing, this electric field magnetic duality is analogous to boson vortex duality in superfluid mode transition. So I want to make an analogy instead of explaining these things in a complicated way. So this is the Fisher's first diagram. Matthew Fisher's first, he got some prize, got a Buckley prize because it's a very interesting first diagram. Yes. So one can learn a lot from this very important first diagram. So we have this, when this, I guess everyone knows this model, right? We have hopping on a lattice, T, and the Hubbard-U interaction between the bosons. There's a chemical potential, there's a Hubbard-U interaction. So when hopping is small, when interaction is large, the system forms a model insider with integer particle per site, integer boson per site. When interaction is small, the system forms a superfluid. So if one starts from the model insider side, to obtain superfluid, one just condenses the boson. One can do reverse here. If one starts from superfluid phase, to obtain model insider, one can just condense the water which are topology defect of the first variable. So these two languages, two descriptions are equivalent for integer fillings. These two plots or two descriptions are equivalent. But if the boson filling is fractional, if it is fractional. So when we start from the superfluid phase, superfluid is just one phase. There is no distinction between different superfluid phase, it's just one phase. So if one starts from superfluid phase, ask the question, what's the approximate model insulating phase, at this filling? So if one start doing this duality, boson vortex duality language, so when the vortices are hopping on a dual lattice, it sees the boson density as a background flux. So because the filling is fractional, the flux is fractional. It's not integer 2 pi flux, so you cannot gauge it away by some kind of gauge transformation. So in the end, you get the vortices are moving in a background of fractional flux, and the vortices band structure, the vortex band structure will have some kind of minima. The minima were not at a gamma point. We shifted to a finite momenta because of this background gauge flux. So when you condense, when the vortice gap closed, when you try to condense the vortices, so the vortices should condense at a finite momenta. In the end, the proximate model insider breaks translational symmetry. You get a various kind of symmetry breaking model insiders. So this pocket order, VBS type of state, strap order. So basically, the key message is you break translational symmetry because of the background flux or background, because of the fractional filling. So here it's very similar. So because the system, the spin are strongly fluctuating within the 2-in, 2-out manifold. So this 2-in, 2-out manifold, as I said, SD mapped the electric field. This 2-in, 2-out manifold mapped to a background electric field distribution. So in the eyes of a magnetic monopole, it sees a background flux due to this background electric field distribution. In the end, the band structure minima of the monopole shifts from gamma point to a finite momentum. When the gap of the model band structure closes, the model will condense. It will condense at the finite momentum, and it will break translational symmetry. So that means any kind of proximate magnetic order of quantum spin ice will necessarily break translational symmetry.
I have a very naive question. For the Hubbard model, the way in which you have the charge density wave depend on the nearest neighbor interaction in the original microscopic model. So it depends on the detail.
Yeah, that's a detail. Yeah.
In your case, the Q vector, and even having a condensation at finite Q vector will depend on some detail of the interaction.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. They will pick up one of the dependent energetics, but this kind of approach is a universal treatment. It just tell me what kind of things can happen. I don't really know for real microscopic Hamiltonian which state is the right ground state. But this kind of,
because if V is equal to zero, then you don't have it.
Yeah. You're talking about some real model. I'm talking about universal thing. Right. So universal thing, there are many possible universal things. If you pick up some particular model, you will look at some particular, result that I have. You understand what I'm saying? So because as I said, any kind of approximate model incident state will break. Any kind of approximate model incident will break translational symmetry. Will break translational symmetry. So it can be this, can be this, can be this, can be something
else.
No, the feeling is different. This is integer feeling.
No, but I mean, in principle, in your microscopic model for the material, you don't have such a term, and so you don't have such a crystallization, and you have the trivial.
Yeah, if you choose the right feeling. Yeah, if you choose the integer feeling, you will obtain this. Yeah, if you choose the fractional feeling, you will...
If you choose the fractional feeling and V is zero, then you don't obtain that. So, I mean, in the real microscopic model, depends.
Are you asking why you have to have any ordering at all at a half?
Maybe.
You're asking? I mean, so that if you take a Hubbard model like this, boson Hubbard model, that one half point is very unstable.
It's unstable, but you can have many different instabilities.
Yeah, but it will not stay a featureless state when you take Hopping to zero. Unless you fine-tune all the interaction parameters. That's a very fine-tuned point.
Degeneracy can be in many different ways.
Of course, yeah. These are four of the ways it could be. There could be even other ways.
So in your model, you cannot really say if you have one order or another.
Yeah, I just come generic argument. We just
it is universal.
It breaks translational symmetry in a way. Yeah.
In some way,
it must break translational symmetry. I mean, this model inside with integer feeling preserve translational symmetry, right? Because one particle.
I mean, the question, somewhat that Tim wants to ask, there's some subtlety I don't want to get into. Is you ask, what mod insulating phases are proximate to a superfluid phase in the sense that they can be connected by a continuous or almost continuous phase transition? Okay, and of course, depending on the model, I could get other phases, but maybe those phases cannot be connected by a continuous transition to the superfluid phase. So that's some restriction. That's the theoretical restriction you put on.
Since you mentioned the transition symmetry breaking here is very important. So if I consider like flux, like one half flux, then if I enlarge my unit cell, then the transition symmetry will be restored. Then how can I understand your necessary condition?
Select this gauge, you'll find the Bender structure. Well, the model, this vortex is hopping. If you're in a superfluid phase, it does not break translational symmetry. It's gapped. Once you condense it, you pick up a particular minima of the Bender structure, and you condense it. The physical observables, which is the boson density, will have some modulation, and this modulation breaks translational symmetry. Magnetic monopole is carrying dual U1 gauge charge. It's not gauge invariant. So physical observable like a magnetic order parameter is gauge invariant. So the relationship to extract physical information out of magnetic monopole condensate, we need to establish a relationship between physical observables with magnetic monopoles. So when can you make use of the Maxwell equation? we have this core electric field equal to a magnetic current, magnetic field, magnetic monopole current. For static state, we don't have this term, it's zero. So when I just do a loop integral of this monopole current, I can obtain this electric field. As I said, electric field is the SD operator. So by this means, one can obtain physical information from the magnetic monopole condensate. So this kind of treatment is called obtain proximate state out of quantum spin ice. It turns out the simplest proximate state is this Q equal to 2π001 any for my order. It's the simplest one. It basically enlarges the crystal unit cell. The magnetic unit cell doubles the crystal unit cell because the state breaks transitional symmetry. It just doubles the unit cell. So that's an approximate treatment. But on the other hand, so if one find a magnetic state which is not in this proximate state, which differ from this proximate state, various proximate state. For instance, if you have a state which is ferromagnetic or preserve the transitational symmetry, or the magnetic unit cell is identical to the crystal unit cell. So this state does not break transitional symmetry. And as I said, any proximate state, ferromagnetic state to quantum spin ice breaks transitional symmetry. So that means this state is not proximate to quantum spin ice. So experimentally, if one finds this kind of state bordering a featureless distorted state, and if this featureless distorted is quantum spin ice, the first transition must be strongly first order. It cannot be connected. It's a very strong statement. So that's some kind of simple physical picture to understand this proximate state and unproximate state. So suppose this the ground state is the quantum spin ice in the beginning. This is some state which is not proximate to quantum spin ice. Somehow, if you change some parameter, the energy of this one becomes lower. Eventually, this energy becomes lower than quantum spin ice. So there is a strong first order transition from here to here. So there's some simple naive argument explanation.
This is a kind of, in some sense, non-universal statement. Depends how you define the, well, which one model. It's a quantum spin liquid itself. So there are quantum spin liquids from where you go to the Q equals zero state, and it's a second order phase transition, but you go finite Q state, and it's a first order phase transition.
I think it's the reverse. If you go from quantum spin ice to a Q equal to zero state, the transition, if there is a direct transition is the first order. If you go from quantum spin ice to a...
Oh, yes, sorry. I was thinking about the quantum spin liquid. So in quantum spin liquid, depends on the quantum spin liquid. But, mm-hmm. So key is this statement is universal in the sense that, since all the translational symmetry broken states are proximity states.
Some of them, yes.
Some of them.
Yeah. But not all translational symmetry breaking magnetic order are proximate. There's certain sets of them. Yeah.
It's definitely model dependent statement, but Gong, I'm not sure. I think you mean more particularly proximate by confinement transition or monopole condensation?
Yeah, not that one you talk
you
about.
You can have Higgs.
Yeah, sure. Not that one. So I actually, you're right. I actually make a remark over here, which I didn't say. For non-Kramers doublet, the magnetic transition out of quantum spin must be a confinement transition. I exclude this Kramers doublet. Utopian is a Kramers doublet. Prestium is a non-Kramers doublet. So for non-Kramers doublet, the magnetic transition out of quantum spin ice must be confinement transition because SZ is time reversal.
It must be previously reversed.
So one can work out. I'm running out of time, but I just want to say one thing because So I want to steal the term from Steve Kelson, the subsidiary order he invented for charge density wave for Kuprays. So here, you know, the magnetic order SZ is not a primary order parameter. So the magnetic order is driven by the condensation of magnetic monopole, right? So the magnetic order parameter SZ is a composite of a multiple operator. It's product of two multiple operators. So the primary order parameter is a magnetic monopole. The magnetic order parameter is a consequence of monopole condensation. It's a subsidiary order. It means it's a weak order. So that means the divergence should be weaker than some power law, some kind of log thing. Yeah. So implication for experiment. In fact, the magnetic order observed in this material and Lipson experiment. Maybe last month, the magnetic order actually obtained the order before knowing the experiment. So this order they found is this 2π001 order. It's the simplest proximal magnetic state. And ytterbium tendinate, Leon have different explanation. But anyway, so I will say, I will speak this thing out anyway. So this thing has a ferromagnetic cubical Lewis magnetic state. And it has a strong first order transition at finite temperature. That can be a consequence of this zero temperature first order transition due to unproximate state, because the magnetic order in this state, in this system, is not proximate to quantum spin ice. I don't know.
Does it also imply that there's a metamagnetic transition and for this McLaughlin?
So this one.
First order.
At finite temperature?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I would say this material, the current sample is probably too deep in the ordered site. In the end, the finite temperature transition is in a conventional regime. If this is too deep over here, this finite temperature magnetic time real symmetry Birkin transition is an Ising-like thing. Maybe one can start from disordered sample, apply pressure to smoothly change the system from quantum spin ice to some other phase to see the change gradually. That would be better.
What about X?
Sorry? X. Yeah, I don't know how to control this.
See, that's what they do.
Yeah. Anyway. So I want to summarize my... Anyway, just as I expected. So I have started a quantum spin ice near the first diagram near quantum spin ice. I use field theoretical technique. I obtained the structure of the magnetic state, and it's the one observed by experiment, and the nature of the magnetic transition. So I use the theoretical result to explain the puzzling experiment in these two materials. It implied the disordered phase is likely to be a quantum spin ice. So I guess I will just stop.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have a comment. So our auditorium is booked till 12:30.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to keep talking, and some people want already to leave, they are free to leave.
Yeah.
So official part will be over, but you can...
Okay, great. Yeah.
I have a question regarding the first part. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can do numerical and experiments also. Mm-hmm. So your magnetic monopole, it sits in the center of this void. In the six vertex language, it is surrounded by 12 arrows. Can you write an operator, off-diagonal operator that would create that magnetic monopole?
So it's probably a little bit different from what you described. So the monopole are dual variable. They live on a dual diamond lattice. So what's the dual diamond lattice? So this hexagon is a diamond lattice hexagon. If you draw a particular a line normal to this hexagon, to the center of the hexagon, and the monopole live on this. This thing is complicated.
I mean, the bipolar lattice is the center of the void.
The particle lattice, say it again.
In the bipolar lattice, this is the center of the big void that is in the bipolar.
Yeah, yes.
So it is the So it is surrounded by 12.
Six. Six slices.
The diamond, that is, yes, but
yeah. 12 spins. 12 spins? No, I'm not sure I understand.
Six diamond sides equals 12 diamond balls.
Yeah.
On the diamond balls, the arrows split.
In any case, I mean, regardless of the monopole is a very non-local object. So there's no local operator that creates it. It's a very non-local thing. I think one can, maybe depending for some specific microscopic models, you can explicitly write carry out the duality transformation, write the partition function that you want to simulate, the Hamiltonian you want to solve in dual variables where it's explicit. In general, it's hard to create such an operator. Just like for the what he calls a spin-on, it's not so easy to make one spin-on. You have to flip an infinite, semi-infinite number of spins to make one spin-on. Just one frustrated operator.
So the critical theory ends up being just the Abelian-Higgs model.
Yeah.
Four dimensions.
Yeah.
So what's the universality class of
that? Yeah, so the critical theory is described by Kaplan's monopole coupled to a dual U1 gadget theory.
Yeah, so it's...
So it's a multi-component Kingsley-Moore-Landau type of theory.
So what that must be known, right? What's the universality class?
Well, this is the universality class.
What are the exponents? I mean,
it's
most likely it has a weekly first order transition.
That's what I was
asking.
I mean,
like fluctuation, not fluctuating, but the gauge field, the coupling to the gauge field makes it first order.
So those theories are in their upper critical dimension.
Right.
So
it's
one loop RG that you have to do, which depends on all the details of how many components and what interactions you have.
Sort of Gaussian plus logarithmic.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe I want to say a few things about the second part. Since as a usual psychology, I'm more excited by more recent works than older works. So this is this material is the first quantum spin liquid material with an odd number electron with a spin orbital coupling, with strong spin orbital coupling. So this is ytterbium. So they we have this I mean they have not I have okay. So they have this heat capacity measurement, zero field. You get this famous T to the 2/3 heat capacity. It's compatible with what one obtained for U1 spin liquid with spin on Fermi surface. I mean yesterday in Donnie's talk we were discussing about this possibility. So this is compatible with what one expect from a simple or naive spin-on gauge uncontrolled RPA kind of calculation will obtain this T to the 2/3 heat capacity for U1 spin liquid with spin-on Fermi surface. So this study has been proposed for these organics coupled by ET-DMIT. It's not confirmed, and they don't really observe this. This is the first clear observation of that. And this is spin 1/2 system. So if you integrate the heat capacity versus temperature, you obtain the entropy. You see this saturated into log 2 at low temperature. So that's affected spin 1/2 moments on triangle lattice. So this is a perfect triangle lattice. And we have single crystals, or they have single crystals. So this the microscopics is rather simple. So this is ytterbium ion sitting on some octahedra with 6 oxygens. And this is 3-fold axis over here. So ytterbium form this triangular layer. They're well separated from each other. This red thing is the triangle layer. So it has 13 electrons on every side. 13 electrons. Because of this spin orbital coupling, very strong spin orbital coupling, the local moment has J equal to 7/2 due to spin orbital coupling. But because we are putting this thing in a lattice, in a crystal, this multiplet were affected by crystal field splitting. We're split into four doublets, and these doublets, each of them are degenerate because of time relative symmetry, Kramer theorem. So that degenerate. So this gap, which they find is almost about 400 Kelvin, you know, at temperature like order of 10 or something Kelvin, these levels are not active. The only active degree of freedom, the only active doublet is this ground state doublet. So then one can use introduce spin 1/2, affect this spin 1/2 degree of freedom to describe this ground state doublet. So that's the origin for this affect this spin 1/2 local moment. Yeah, so theoretical
what
question.
What is G factor? Is isotropic and anisotropic? What about G factor? Isotropic and anisotropic?
G factor is anisotropic. You know, in along Z direction and in plane are different. Yeah.
How much
different? I forgot the number. It's some
different. Approximately, crudely.
It's not icing, so it's completely not non-icing. It's not icing. I will show the Hamiltonian. Don't worry about this. Let me show. I will show the Hamiltonian in a few slides.
So these are unique axes,
Z
and XY.
Unique axis? This is triangular.
G factor
we
mentioned. It's a Z is perpendicular to the plane?
Yeah, Z is defined perpendicular to plane. Yeah, so XY is in a plane. Yeah.
The local field is.
What's the point symmetry of the
term? It's R3 by M. It has the perfect triangle value symmetry. So all the triangle values have translation.
So there's a threefold axis around that.
Yeah, this is threefold axis. Yeah,
the, so it's through the ytterbium, so.
Yeah.
So then it's, then there are only two components.
Yeah.
So how is it more Isaac-like or more XY-like? What is this? Visual. More Isaac-like, more XY-like, what is it?
It's not really that. Maybe more XY-like. Yeah, maybe more XY-like. But that's not that important for the physics. Yeah.
In principle, there is no direct relation between.
No, I mean just simply susceptibility. Potential susceptibility.
Yeah.
I don't mean about the potential whatever. High temperature susceptibility, simply to know what we are dealing with.
So what I'm saying is that the exchange in isotropies?
Yeah, that made it completely different. I'm asking about sensitivity, high temperature sensitivity.
Yeah.
Is it intuitive to see why it's such a perfect triangular lattice? Because in so many other materials, at least say 10% distortion is sort of, they say, nearly unavoidable. And when people do DFT, then they will always see that the distortion is sort of preferred. So is there a physical argument why this shall be a perfect?
Yeah, that's a question I don't know the answer. Yeah, it's what nature gives us, but I don't know. So this is the kind, they found it's perfect.
Okay.
Like X-ray to check this.
So was delta measured by neutrons, or how was it determined?
The lattice structure.
Delta, the splitting.
Oh, this is a heat capacity measurement. You can do the heat capacity measurement. You can just yeah.
So
just heat capacity, you can see, at some temperature window, you will see exponential decay because of this activated gap, right? You can fit that.
It's usually fitting, susceptibility, specific heat, whatever.
Yeah. So the point is several hundred Kelvin, it's probably hard to measure from specific heat. But on the other hand, other ytterbium materials, it's often that kind of magnitude, so. Do we really care what it is if it's bigger than, I don't know, 50 Kelvin or something? It doesn't really matter.
Well, it can be small. I mean, in principle, it can be much smaller, but it's not. Okay.
It rarely is. Also, the fact that you see the entropy at log 2 is telling you that it's big enough.
Yeah. So a question is, can this kind of system support a quantum spinning ground state? Because we know we have so many theorems exclude certain things from happening. So the interesting things from happening. So I want to know first like whether this interesting state can occur in this kind of system. This kind of system means all number electron point cell with strong spin on the coupling. Okay. So the answer is yes. In principle it's yes. So there's a very important work by these people. And so they call the filling constraints for spin orbit coupling inside the isomorphic and non-symmorphic crystals. So as I said earlier, so in the beginning of the talk, so they started argue some introduction about this a power result by Lipschutz and Meadows in 1D, later extended to high dimension by Hastings and Oshikawa, holds that if all the symmetry remains unbroken, the ground state must be exotic, such as a Luttinger liquid in 1D or quantum spin liquid in high dimension with fractional spin known excitation. So yeah, these exotic state cannot be represented as a simple product state as a consequence of long-range quantum entanglement. So, but this theorem, as I said, cannot apply to realistic system because of this theorem has assumption of global UN symmetry. So real system has a strong spin orbit coupling. We cannot apply that. So they extend this theorem to the case with spin orbit coupling. So they argue so that if a spin orbit coupled insulator at all the feeding, all non-electron feeding, if it is time reversal symmetric, its ground state must, in a precise sense, be exotic.
But they argue or they prove the theorem?
The proof. Yeah, well, I don't understand the proof.
This is the beginning of the paper.
Some people understand the proof, yeah.
So argue this in the beginning of the paper.
It's not a theorem in a sense of
it. It's not a theorem in the mathematical sense.
Yeah. I think it's more rigorous than the Oshikawa argument.
Sure.
But less rigorous.
I think that in the Lipschutz one, this
others. You cannot exclude the ferromagnetism. You just say that it's
so it's not exotic.
Exotic.
So
this is more than that? No. So it's just symmetry.
Yeah.
You
exclude the
magnetic
order by time reversal symmetry.
I think so.
It's not a very strong statement
somehow. Yeah. So it's more like a conjecture? Yeah. It's a pretty solid. Yeah. I mean, there's a. I think what they really rule out is that there can be a gap state breaking, not breaking time reversal or enlarging a lattice in itself with a non-degenerate ground state. That's what's really ruled out. Okay. All kind of gapless states could exist. That's what Lipschultz-Mattis does basically. Is they put an upper bound on the lowest excitation energy, which goes to zero in the thermodynamic limit. This is a little less detailed than that, but still rules out gaps.
So it doesn't really say it's a fraction.
No. I mean, so if you say there's a gap, you insist that there's a gap. So that's an extra assumption to all local excitations, all bulk excitations. And you insist there's a ground state degeneracy, and there's no broken symmetry. Mm-hmm. Then you need to come up with some weird mechanism for the ground state degeneracy that's not related to symmetry breaking. And so that's, in that sense, there's some weird mechanism that's exotic. The only one we know are kind of just liquid-like states.
But
time reversal
symmetry
is
unbroken time reversal symmetry, it's equivalent of having no long-range order.
Well, but it doesn't even need to be. I mean, in principle, you could have, I don't know, an octopolar order or something.
Long range.
Yeah, long range, yeah.
So then one can read this statement as if there's no long range order, it's an exotic state.
Well, so meaning it's not a trivial state. So the point is it's not a unique ground state with no fractional excitation. So from the point of view of these guys, just because something doesn't have magnetic order, that's not interesting. Okay, I would agree with them. You take a dimer system.
Yes.
Okay. Spin dimer system, the dimer ground state. We call this is not exotic.
Yeah, but it's odd feeling.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. There's no way.
It's not so obvious. It's a very intuitive statement.
It's a very intuitive statement.
Dimer will be an even number of electrons.
Indeed.
Well, depends on the lattice.
Non-symmorphic crystal.
You know, it's not so obvious that you couldn't make, especially with spin orbit coupling, some combination, you know, that can kind of gap everything out without. Certainly, it's hard to imagine a really local picture that does it.
So it's a more subtle, more physics behind this exotic. For instance, it's a crop state. Is the general.
To define what exotic means.
But something is not defined. But say what's cool is that say crowd that is it's a degenerate and all the extensions are gapped.
So they don't hold that. They assume all the extensions are gapped.
Okay. It's not a simple product.
That's another alternative. Okay.
George, they are already.
Yeah. It's not a simple product state. Yeah, can I continue? So the question is, what's the nature of this quantum spinner grid? I mean, we have some phenomenological argument based on this famous T2/2/3. But it's not it's a based on phenomenological argument. Okay. So we want to more like what's the microscopic origin? We want to know that of this quantum spinner grid. We know that 4F electrons are very localized. A dipolar interaction can be estimated. It's really weak. I mean, beyond the first neighbor, the dipolar interaction is very weak. So you know, with this Kramers ground state orbit affect the spin 1/2 because of strong spin orbit coupling. So and with the symmetry of the lattice, one can just write down the most generic Hamiltonian to describe the nearest neighbor interaction of the local moment. That's the most generic Hamiltonian for this system. So because of spin orbit coupling, spin degrees of freedom is no longer an internal degrees of freedom. 5 minutes? Okay. So, yeah, no longer, yeah, so this Hamiltonian is, okay, because of spin orbit coupling, spin orbit entanglement, so this Hamiltonian is a anisotropic inverse in the spin space and in position space. It has orientational dependence, depending on the bond of the size, depending on orientation of the bond. So this first factor is different for A1, A2, A3 bond. Okay. So I think this will make George happy. And this state, this Hamiltonian, can be reduced to Kitai model. Yeah, in certain limits.
That makes Kitai happy.
Yeah, well, you first knew and can have a happy. So the Kitainess of this model is due to the threefold rotational symmetry and spin orbit coupling. If one define the x, y, z axis of the spin like this way, if this is the plane, if we define x, y, this axis this way, if we do a threefold rotation, you permute x, y, z. So we generate a Kitai term in the Hamiltonian.
So if I choose, like this, right?
Yeah, that's right. So what's the origin for this quantum spinner grid physics? So this model, the first sign is the XXZ model, and we know the sign of this from fitting the single crystal Curie Weiss temperature. This thing can be determined. These two values can be determined. So they're both antiferromagnetic, and this one is almost is about the same as this one. And this one, this antiferromagnetic XXZ model support the magnetic order, conventional magnetic order. So that's certainly not the origin for quantum spinner grid physics. To obtain quantum spinner grid physics, we need extra new terms. And this is certainly allowed, actually not small, because of this spin orbit coupling. And this, the presence of these two terms will compete with this XXZ model and maybe melt the magnetic order in certain parameter regimes. And the origin, the physical origin for quantum spinner grid physics is due to this anisotropic spin interactions in the Hamiltonian due to spin orbit coupling. So that's the classical phase diagram. So as the first step, one can do a more conservative treatment of the spin Hamiltonian and determine the classical phase diagram of this model. Because this term and this term can be, this coupling, these two coupling can be easily determined from single crystal Curie Weiss temperature measurement. So one can fix this JZZ and J plus minus and choose the rest of two couplings as the parameter to draw a two-dimensional phase diagram. So there are three ordered phases in this phase diagram. So when is this 120 degree magnetic order, when these two values are vanishing, the other two are this stripe order. This actually a lotus stripe in the XZ plane. So I only draw in the X plane. This is in the Y direction of the spin space. So it seems that the first diagram doesn't seem to have a disordered ground state. So where can this disordered ground state exist? So this is, first of all, this is a classical treatment. I treat the spin as a classical vector. I did not include any quantum fluctuations. In fact, if one do the calculation carefully, you'll find near the first boundary between different states, the many classical spin configurations have rather close energies. The energy is very almost flat in the momentum space. The quantum fluctuation is strongly enhanced because of this very close energy classical spin configurations. And that if quantum spin liquid exists, it can probably occur in the regions near the first boundary. So this is a work in progress. So for future directions, I want to make some few sentences about that. For experiments, so since the experiment suggests almost gapless spin liquid with T to the 2/3 heat capacity, one can use neutron scaling optical thermal measurement to confirm whether they have a spinoform surface or not. This is certainly a very exciting direction. And we can do new materials. You know, ytterbium is a rare earth element. All the rare earth elements have very close, very same, almost the same chemical property. One can replace ytterbium with many other things. For instance, one can realize this XYZ model, a different type of model, which is can be solved, you know, in certain parameter regimes by quantum Monte Carlo, and can have a very close comparison between theory and experiment. So this material, the first quantum spin liquid candidate material, is strong spin Monte Carlo insulator with all the electron filling. So this opens our door to a new direction. Like one can look at quantum spin liquid in strong spin Monte Carlo insulators. The quantum spin is certainly one of them, but it has even number of electron per inner cell. In the sodium iterator, the hybrid Kagami levels also have even number of electron per inner cell, 60. So this is the first odd number electron per inner cell. So for theory, now one can do, many people like this classification. So Xiaogang, when did pioneering projective symmetry classification in 2002, he did not consider the case with spin optical coupling. He assumes SUT invariance in the very beginning of the model, and he imposed SUT invariance even in the mean field level, not even projectively. Okay, so that's a new direction. So we have a model. We can do various numerics, projected wave function, variation Monte Carlo with Poisson construction, maybe other numerics. Okay, so let me summarize. So I have this has been summarized. So I just want to argue. So this material is probably the first quantum spinning with all the electron filling and strong spin on the coupling. The spin liquid physics probably originated from the anisotropic spin interaction if you strong spin on the coupling. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the thing.
Thank you, Gang.
Yeah, thanks.
So we had quite intensive interaction and questions. If there are still some questions, we can take one or two.
Dipolar. Yeah, the spin component is a dipolar order parameter. The magnetization is linear with this.
Are there any estimates from some ab initio studies on these parameters?
No. We have a ESR result, and you know ESR is a measure of the spin anisotropic spin interaction. One can fit these parameter with the ESR spectrum broadening and this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically, so the Heisenberg term is basically isotropic, you were saying, right? So the first line,
yeah,
J plus minus and ZZ are basically the same, you said?
You mean these two parameters?
Yes.
This is not Heisenberg. You know, if I put a 1/2, that's Heisenberg.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So are they... So the S plus is minus is twice as big about as the S.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, roughly. Yeah, 1.8 maybe. Yeah.
But what's the scale? Is this Kelvin, probably, right? J is the order of 1 to Kelvin.
Yeah, the QoS temperature is 4 Kelvin. And the lowest temperature they did is 0.06 Kelvin. It's much smaller than QoS temperature. But the QoS is minus 4 Kelvin. So the residual entropy they found is at very low temperature, at 0.06 Kelvin, is less than 0.6% of log 2. So that's a strong indication that they are really accessing the ground state property. Yeah.
Okay, I would suggest to stop here and start with the round of these contact people.